Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Eric Zorn, the Picayune Sentinel publisher. It's a weekly newsletter containing commentary and comedy and links. You can search for the Picayune Sentinel online or just email ericzorn@gmail.com and he'll add you to the mailing list. We talk to him on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Thursdays. We do him Tuesdays at this time. And there he is. Hi, Eric Zorn.
Hey, John. This stock market news, am I going to have to come out of semi-retirement now because of this? This doesn't sound good.
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? How many of you who recently retired and have a little bit of a nest egg are going, ah, crap? I think a lot. I think it troubles recent retirees or pretty soon gonna retirees because in either case, you're counting on an amount of money to last a very long time. And that's no good.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually waiting to hear a little bit more analysis in the Wintrust business lunch because I really never know what to make of some of these vicissitudes in the market. Right, I think it goes up, it goes down, it comes back, and you know, my study of economics is about 40 years ago, so I don't really remember what it all means. But my general sense is that the market over the fullness of time is a good investment, and that if you worry about it every day, you're just going to make yourself sick. So
yeah,
maybe I won't listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, the great Warren Samuelson said, don't look. You're right. I mean, it's a loss only if you sell today and if you have the luxury of not having to manipulate your portfolio today. Don't. And do you believe, this is the question that's been put to me in the past, do you think 5 years from now we're going to be in a better position than we are today? And my answer is yes. And then it's like, well, then what are you worried about? And you could say, well, because I need that money between now and 5 years from now, I have to go get some of it. That's a problem. But if you're fortunate enough to not be in that window and you believe that, as Eric says, in the fullness of time, nobody's lost money betting on American companies, then you can get through this. But you got to drink that Kool-Aid today, that's for sure. Eric, let's talk a little bit about the Chicago Bears. There's three things I want to bounce off of you. One is the GOP Attorney General candidate, Thomas DeVore. I also want to talk about the Downers Grove Public Library canceling because of threats, a bingo night. But let's just start with the Dome and the Bears, because I want to dispatch with that quickly and move on to other things. Why are you writing about the Bears stadia today?
Well, my point today was that I saw on social media after Sunday's game, and of course, you know, it was this grand rainstorm where the game ended with the Bears running into the end zone and playing slip and slide and celebrating, and it looked like a lot of fun. And it was a fun game to watch, but it was not. The thing on social media, people were saying, like, who needs a dome? Who needs a dome? This is so much fun. But the truth is that game could have gone the other way, and if it had gone the other way, we would have realized that playing under those conditions is just not a good way to decide which team is the better team that day. And that you should not be playing sports in really bad conditions, and that's inevitable with football. And, you know, you wouldn't play baseball in a situation like that. You couldn't play basketball in a rainstorm like that. So why do we play football when the whole point of sports is to see, okay, under ideal conditions, our best against your best, who wins? And that's what you get in a dome. And I think that that game, even though the Bears won, was really an argument for the Arlington Heights Dome or for Mayor Lori Lightfoot's $2 billion dome she wants to put over Soldier Field. I think it's time to play football indoors in Chicago. There's a myth about Bears weather. You know, people talk about, oh, it's bear weather and it's cold and bear. You know, every time people have looked at that claim, the Bears don't do particularly well in cold weather. And SB Nation took a look at it and said that Bears have a 608 winning percentage, but it goes down in games played after December 1st. It's only 596, and which you think it would go up if there's such a thing as bear weather. And NBC5 did a story a couple years ago, which they cited statistics showing that the Bears are 46-48-1 when the temperature is at or below freezing since 1960. So there is no such thing as bear weather. Playing in nasty conditions does not help us. And it's just a bad idea. I'm all for the dome. So,
even if you're not for the dome. This was a thought that occurred to me too, that, and by the way, about your analogy about those aren't the best circumstances to play any sport in, but football you can. I think the equivalent would not be, say, playing basketball in the rain, because you can't, but you could say, okay, but at this particular stadium, the lighting's bad, or there's some dead spots in the floor, and so that's going to favor teams that walk it up versus fast break. And you go, yeah, but that's just the way it is. At the United Center, the floor is lousy and the lighting's bad, and it favors the Bulls. And you would say, wait, that's ridiculous. This should not be that much of a discrepancy one field to the other. But I think an even more essential point is that these are some of the best athletes in the world who get a lot of money. We all are anxious to see them perform the game as best as can be performed. And in the rain, you don't get that. It would be like the lights are halfway out at a basketball game. Oh, I can't see very well. Why? Well, because it's raining so hard. They don't get a chance to perform.
Exactly, and there is some sort of an elementary school thrill that you get watching these guys slip and slide around and fall down and get mud on them and so on. That it's kind of fun. It's kind of funny. But you're right. We're paying top dollar. These those in the state, the suffering fans in the stands are paying top dollar to watch athletes at their best. And when you're got to walk gingerly, and there's got to be an extra risk of injury too when you can't get your footing. It just doesn't seem to make much sense. And I saw some interesting photos on social media from people who were in the stands.
Yeah.
And what they were going through. That doesn't look pleasant at all. I have some bad memories of going to Michigan football games when I was a kid and the weather was really lousy and just like leaving at halftime. It's just you don't want to suffer. You watch the game, sit at home in your den and watch it on TV. So I hope that that at least we get the dome over Soldier Field. My guess is that they will move out to Arlington Heights, but it's time to play football, especially in Chicago, inside. Maybe a retractable dome. So on a nice day, you'd have that outdoor football feel.
Add an extra $600 million for that. I hope the guy who bought that popcorn kept his receipt. That's all I'm saying.
You saw that video too, yeah.
It was wonderful. So in Downers Grove, they're not going to have the bingo night hosted by a drag queen because of threats. You could have predicted this. I continued to call that an unforced error by the Downers Grove Library in trying to carve out a fun event in a safe space for the LGBTQ community. They've actually created an event that would be controversial, and they had to cancel. It's enough to make me want them to have the event, but I don't think they needed to have the event. Where are you on that today, Eric?
I'm kind of there with you, John. I think that it was maybe a little bit of an unforced error by them to try to put this through, although our friend John Hansen was talking about how when he was growing up as a gay kid in Downers Grove, this would have been very important to him, signal to him that he was an accepted person and it was a signal of inclusion. I'm not exactly sure myself what the whole drag queen phenomenon has to do with sexual identity. It's a little confused for me. I don't know why that would be something that would necessarily appeal specifically to gay kids. But it strikes me that it was probably not the smartest thing for them to do. On the other hand, I really react strongly to the idea that they have to not hold the event because of threats. I don't want to give the veto power like that to people who are willing to make threats of disruption, violence. That's a really bad situation to be in. And I sort of wish they decided, almost because of these threats, they would say, okay, we've gotten these threats because of them. We're going to hold this event. You know, we might have been talked out of it at one point, but we're not going to let the threat of protest.
I know. I'm with you on that too, Eric. And it almost sounds irresponsible to say, well, now let's have the damn thing, because who knows if something goes south. But I mostly believe things would happen just fine, and you're giving way too much power to two or three really hateful people.
Right. I think the story hour up in the northwest suburbs went off okay at the cafe, the Uprise Bakery, I think it was called. Yeah. And I think that ended up going off several weeks after it was originally canceled without incident. Okay. I think they probably could have held it, and I just wish they would defy the people who think that a noisy group of angry people who can shut down a public event. That's scary to me.
GOP Attorney General candidate Thomas DeVore has a record of suing critics. I read Dan Petrella's long piece in the paper the other day. I thought it was really interesting. Who among us really has a vested vote in the Attorney General for Illinois, particularly since it almost always seems like it's going to be a Democrat? But this is a fascinating description of the guy running on the other side of the ledger. Other texts about Eric Zorn's comments on the Bears needing a dome after a game like Sunday. Gary says, football's meant to be played outside. And the next texter says, bear weather. Do we want a top player to be injured due to a slick field? I want them protected and in a damn dome. Thanks. 262. Weather's part of football, John. Come on. 765, be interesting to ask the players what they think. 630 says, I don't agree with your guest. Football, soccer, rugby, all sports, generally played in elements. Football's about toughness. I'm worried that once you move it indoors, played it on artificial surface, it takes something out of the game. It does take something out of the game, but here's what you also get in the game. A better experience for the fans and players able to operate at their maximum ability. And finally, 815, obviously Eric Zorn never played football. The best games to play were in the rain, the mud, the snow. I'll bet you never even played football. What were you, like a wide receiver? Were you a cheerleader? Were you in the stands? What did you do to play football?
I was a defensive lineman and junior high tackle football. That was the extent of my football playing, but I have played, so my critic is not technically correct.
So. The attorney general candidate, GOP attorney general candidate is a guy named Thomas DeVore. You wrote about him. Why?
Well, he's from downstate Sorrento, a little town northeast of St. Louis, and he was running for, well, this is part of a larger story that Dan Petrella wrote in the Tribune, but he told the story of he was running for a school board seat 5 years ago in his hometown, and he was having problems getting the correct change from a concession stand at a high school basketball game. And he went on social media and he wrote, Lord, help us with the window lickers. I mean, special children. And he said, we got two sodas, two popcorns, and a candy. It took a good minute for the kids to come up with a total. And he goes on and explains the problem. He calls the special child. That's a politically correct term for window licker. He wrote, looked at me and argued about the change. And then comes another special child, he says. And he goes back. He says, Lord, help us with the window lickers. And I had never heard the slang term window licker before. But in checking like the online slang dictionary, the Urban Dictionary, and places like that that keep track of slang, it is a highly offensive term used to describe. It's a euphemism for people who are mentally challenged, intellectually disabled. And it apparently derives from some sort of stereotype behavior of mentally challenged children who place their mouths in prolonged contact with the windows of a bus when they're being transported. Like I said, I'd never heard that. It wasn't an expression in my vocabulary, but it is highly derogatory. And he tried to explain that he wasn't referring to them as mentally challenged, but you know, the term special child also refers to
he said
know,
he didn't
special
say
education.
Special but he said that in his defense he said I didn't say special needs I said special children, and it's not mentally challenged or disabled kids, it's just dopey kids who are obnoxious and don't take the time to learn how to make correct change.
Well, yes, I believe that he didn't literally think that these children were mentally challenged, but this is, it's like, I don't even know if you can say this word anymore, but it's like when you call someone a retard, even if they're not technically have the mental disability, you are impugning people who do have those kind of challenges, those kind of disabilities, when you use a word like that, which is why we don't use that word, why we don't use the term window licker. Now that we know it, we should know never to use it. It's a terrible thing to say about somebody. And then the fact that he is trying to sort of lie his way out of it is really disgraceful, I think. I mean, he's saying, oh, you know, I was raised in a different time, I grew up in a different era.
How old is he, Eric?
He is 53.
Not 153. 053. Okay, then you don't
053.
You do not get that card. You have to take that out of your deck, man. You do not have that one to play.
Yeah, it was really a shocking thing to say. And I think, you know, anybody who knows people who have had mental challenges, and what family do you know that doesn't have, yeah, you know, somebody within who has had some difficulties, some challenges like that. I mean, it is so highly offensive. And I don't know how you talk your way out of it. He did actually end up losing that school board race, which was good to know. but he's back. He's an attorney. He was one of the guys who was filing lawsuits all over the state over Governor Pritzker's mask mandates. For some reason, this caught the fancy of Republican voters in Illinois. They nominated him for attorney general. He's going to get crushed almost for sure. But in the process, he is degrading and insulting people of who have mental challenges. And I think that's just despicable.
Well, his nomination also does Illinois a disservice in that I always want a robust campaign. I want Kwame Raoul to have to prove his chops and have pressure to improve his game. And when you've got that as a candidate on the other side, Republicans can say whatever they want about how bad the Democrats are doing, but if that's all you've got to put up against the Democrats, then the Republican Party is neither organized nor powerful, and they should have ample opportunity right now. It's discouraging to me to see somebody like that in the game.
I agree with you, John. I mean, I lean Democratic pretty strongly, as you know, but I also believe there's a great value in the clash of ideas and the ability of various parties to hold the other party's feet to the fire about their policies, about their legislation, and so on. And it would be good. It would be good if the Republicans were putting up somebody with a little bit more oomph than Darren Bailey for governor, that he might be able to have some productive debates with Governor Pritzker that might at least help shape the way things go in the future. But we're not really going to see that because his campaign is such a laughing stock, and now you've got DeVore. And what that's going to do, inevitably, is it's going to depress Republican voter turnout because the polls are going to be awful for the Republicans. And they're going, well, why do they show up in Illinois in November to vote when none of their candidates are probably going to win? That's probably going to impact the Illinois Supreme Court races. There are two really key Illinois state Supreme Court races that are going on. The Republicans, if they win them both, will get control of the state Supreme Court, which would be a huge deal. Not many people are talking about that right now, but if you don't have Republican turnout, that's not going to happen. Up and down the ballot, you're going to have Republican candidates who are going to suffer. Again, I'm not crying any tears over that, but I do believe in the two-party system still, and I believe in a responsible Democratic Party doing battle with a responsible Republican Party and having some sort of progress made out of the clash of those ideas rather than this sort of nightmare situation where you have somebody insulting special needs kids. It's pretty awful.
That's a description of Thomas DeVore. You can read Dan Petrella's story in the Tribune, and then he also makes the point, I think you had seconded it. I'm out of time now, Eric, but that if you are having a serious person argue for the people of Illinois as the attorney general, you don't want somebody who files frivolous lawsuits at every perceived insult, and he has a history of that as well. We can talk about this on the Mincing Rascals podcast. We'll record that tomorrow, and I look forward to talking to you then.
Great, John. Thanks so much.
That's Eric Zorn in the Picayune Sentinel.